My body is just the vehicle that carries my brain around, and my brain deserves a smooth, luxurious ride.
Hi, and welcome to the HarmonCast. I am Dean Martin, your host, and you're listening to the Alexandra Harmonizers audio cast. Coming up this show, we interview director Joe Cerruti, asking a couple questions about the upcoming show and life of the Harmonizers and Pride of Baltimore Chorus. Of course, this Sunday is our big joint show, November the 8th, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Go to harmonizers.org or prideofbaltimorechorus.com for more information. There are a few tickets left, but of course there's unlimited access to our webcast. If you're out of the area or tickets are gone, you can sign up for the webcast, view it both live Sunday afternoon or via delayed viewing. Anywhere you have an internet connection, you have access to the show. So check that out. Tell your friends. We'll be glad to see you there. And now over to our interview with the director of both the Alexandra Harmonizers and the Pride of Baltimore Chorus. Well, we are live and in Keller with Mr. Joe Cerruti. This afternoon. Joe, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Dean. How are you?
Great. I know it's a busy week, but I thought it would be fun to just get an inside look in what the life of a director looks like leading up to a big show. First of all, is it exciting for you? Two championship choruses, a great venue, first webcast, etc., or do you have to face it just like every other show with the same type of preparation?
It is the same type of preparation, but it is incredibly exciting for this to be such a historical event between these two choruses. I couldn't be more excited about this show, more so than the other shows. The venue is a really exciting thing for these two choruses to be singing in, such an instrument as the venue that we will be singing in. But just to have that many people on the risers and be singing the kind of music that we're going to be singing this weekend, it is very exciting. It is very stressful, but it is very exciting.
I was at Harmonizers rehearsal on Tuesday night. Things seemed to go fairly well. Are you fairly happy with the last couple rehearsals and where your choruses are at?
Boy, both choruses had great rehearsals this week. Now, in the history of the Harmonizers, usually a terrible rehearsal before the show means that the show is going to be a hit, that Harmonizer miracle. but I think that we might be getting past that. And I think that if the choruses sing like they sang in these past two rehearsals, it's going to be an incredible showing with the repertoire that we're going to be putting up this
cool
week.
Well, you have Saturday's rehearsal yet to crash and burn before. No, I'm just kidding.
That's right.
Tell me a little bit about what went into the song choices for the joint, the songs that were done jointly between the Harmonizers and Pride of Baltimore.
Yeah. When we were going to take this on, I was looking at about 20 different arrangements. I didn't want them to be Lida Rose, you know, the standard 8-part arrangements that everyone is doing. In Harmony was done on an AIC show. It is Clay Hines' arrangement, and it was done on an AIC show maybe 2 or 3 years ago when the AIC invited all of the Harmony Inc. and Sweet Adeline International queens onto our show, and that was the song that they did, and I remembered it being done, and it was still kind of barbershop, but it was just a bit hipper. It had a cooler feeling to it. So that was the first thing that I went to because I knew it would be a good way to open the set and kind of to loop things and come back in the end with a really great introduction, a really great tag, and opportunities for solos. The other two songs, All I Ask of You is a King Singers chart that I knew of and that provided us the opportunity for contrast from the uptune, a nice ballad that is recognizable to the audience. And Scarborough Fair I chose as a real challenge to both of these ensembles. It was a chart that I did in college with a vocal jazz group, And as I was going through all of my stuff, I wanted to find something that would be really outside of the box, give both courses a challenge and of maybe five other charts or so that I was looking at. That was the one that we ended up going with. I really was honestly ready to cut the song after our first joint rehearsal, but persevered and said, you know, all right, I'll give it one more shot. And boy, at that second joint rehearsal, it was really phenomenal. And both choruses have not been together yet again. But in the individual rehearsals, they're getting note perfect on this stuff. And it's going to be a real gem on the show. It's going to be the last song that we do.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying that song also. As difficult as it is, I have to admit the first joint rehearsal was kind of an eye opener for me, and I think some of the other harmonizers, because I looked around and I'm still in the music, and I saw a number of other people, a number of the other harmonizers still on the music. The ladies were all off the music, and although it wasn't perfect, I think it was they kind of pushed us a little bit, because the next week at harmonizers, I noticed a lot more guys were off the page. Tell me about your genius master plan and using the competitiveness of both choruses to push us to a higher level.
I would love to take credit for that. But honestly, what it came down to was when we introduced the joint music, the harmonizers were preparing for district. And at that time, I didn't want to spend any time working that joint music. I wanted to focus on district so much, and I knew the chorus would rise to the occasion after district, with my fingers crossed behind my back. The ladies, however, were working on that show, and because I'm so new with them, getting me acquainted to their repertoire and learning the joint music. So that was all that we were working on at Pride of Baltimore. And our first joint rehearsal came right after district. So I was expecting the guys to be using that music and for the women to be much more acquainted with it. And that did manifest itself in the guys kind of looking over to the other side of the risers going, uh-oh, they have this thing memorized. So it was a kind of cool effect that kind of lit a fire under the guys' butts a little bit to learn it. But I had no doubt that they would have been able to pick that music up as fast as they did.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to, at some point in the future, get yourself and a couple other of the musical leadership on and just talk about district and competition and so forth and where you're headed in that way. But maybe just one comment about how you felt district went. I was in the audience because I was really not up to speed yet on the competition tunes, but really was impressive from an audience standpoint, and just other comments that people around me I heard making. Just short comment from you on how you felt about your performance at districts.
I was very pleased. I don't know. I think that we have milked those two songs for as much as we could get out of them, and I'm so proud of the guys at how far we've taken those songs. I can tell you that at the very beginning of Clap Your Hands, keeping it in tune and getting the transitions and our first run with it at International, it was very challenging, and then taking on You Tell Me Your Dreams, You Tell Me Your Dream, they were really making music at it. We've got it up at a really, really high level, and they're just stepping stones to what comes next. So are there things that we could have done with those songs that would have made them better? Yeah, but we wanted to focus on the package, on doing the plan as well as we can and at as high a quality as possible. And with the new songs that we'll be taking on for Philly, we look to really take a big step forward in the things that we have learned with the package that we performed at District.
Yeah. I'd like to back up a bit. And there was some discussion at the Afterglow on Tuesday night between a couple of guys at the table about what it takes to build a great course. We were out at the restaurant afterwards, but it seems to be a kind of a chicken and egg scenario. An exciting, growing, dynamic course has an energy level of its own that seems to attract new people who then continue to build that energy. And conversely, a negative energy causes people, of course, to back away from chorus life and kind of gets in a downward spiral. Since you're intimately involved now in two successful choruses, what do you see as some of the keys to building and keeping that positive energy happening?
Boy, well, you know, we've had such an influx of guests these past couple of weeks, these past 2 or 3 weeks. I mean, brand new guests, first time guests. We've had, 14 guys every week. I mean, mm-hmm. It's unbelievable. And I've turned to some of the chapter leadership and said, what the heck is going on? I have absolutely no clue. But for the chapter to be successful, you know, we don't often realize we know that it takes good singers, high quality singers, in tune singers, singers that can blend, but that's really only the half of it. Both choruses, Pride of Baltimore and the Alexandria Harmonizers, continue to impress me. The entire other 50% is the management, the administration of the inner workings of these ensembles, from putting up the risers to coming up with a schedule for the rehearsal to also to managing the board, to marketing the choruses, to bringing in new members and getting them up to speed. Without that work, these choruses would not be successful. So sure, it's all about the singing, but the thing that keeps the people excited is the incredible marketing that we have been doing through Facebook, through YouTube. Now we've just started Twitter. These sorts of things are the things that get us recognized by people who have never heard of the chorus before. So really, you know, the chorus is singing at a high level that I'm very, very proud of. But the thing that really keeps us moving and keeps the new guys coming in and keeps the quality at such a high level are these guys that are really busting their butt to get there and put up the risers and to be active in the city of Alexandria and the city of Baltimore, to make sure that they know about us, to make sure that we're available for the grants and these sorts of things. So I think that the things that keep that buzz going are those guys that are doing, and ladies that are doing, such a phenomenal job on the administrative and management side of the mm-hmm. house.
And of course, a great director. on a more personal level, you're a fairly young guy thrown into two very prestigious choruses, and you know they don't give these positions to just anybody off the street. But I've been impressed with both your leadership skills in front of the chorus and ability to command respect while still being an encouraging influence on the singers. Would you be free to share maybe some of the key influences in your own life that have shaped your personality, both as a director and a leader?
Oh man. Well, thank you. And I mean, my influences, it would take me a whole day, but I can tell you that my, this all started with, Ed Wasche and Dave Johnson. Dave Johnson was the lead of quartet with Ed Wasche, a Mid-Atlantic District champ quartet called the New Yorkers. And Dave Johnson was the faculty member at Five Towns College, where I studied music. And he is the guy who got me started singing barbershop. And we started the first collegiate barbershop chapter at the college, which is still going now, the Five Towns College Long Island Sound. And right as we started that chapter, Dave brought in this old guy who he knew nothing about, made fun of him every rehearsal. You know, what's this old guy doing here? So on and so forth. Well, we went to our first international, which was Nashville in like 2000, 2001. And there was that old guy that we were making fun of every Monday night up on the stage at International being put into the Hall of Honor. And that was Ed Wasche.
Wow.
And so that the following Monday rehearsal after International, it was very quiet. We didn't know what to do. We didn't realize that he was such a giant. And Ed and Dave really shaped us as musicians and as leaders, and me as a director. And they would definitely be my primary influence. But as I was mentioning earlier about the organization and leadership of the chapter, when I came to the harmonizers, they really, really, really taught me about how to lead a group. They've done it before. They have 4 international gold medals, and they know what we need to do to function at that level. And they really put their arm around me, and Terry Reynolds and Jack Pitzer and Terry Jordan and Steve White and a number of people who I shouldn't have even named names, because I'm leaving a good 20 people out. But they refuse to let me fail in any of this. I would like to say that a large portion of my success is due to my background in music, but it really is due to the leadership of these choruses. And Pride of Baltimore is doing the exact same thing right now. They're stepping behind me, and when I need to learn something, they teach me. And when I need to send an email out encouraging the chorus or restating something that I said in a different way, they are behind me. They are not waiting for me to do everything. They are making sure that we do everything together at the highest possible level. So every ounce of my success is due to these 2 choruses having such a strong background in leadership and management skills, especially in this area where we have so many military and government people who just thrive on that sort of thing. So every week for me is a learning process, and I'm constantly looking to other people in the chorus for new ways to go about doing something and to lead these choruses to higher levels.
I must confess a bit of ignorance, and I'm maybe all wrong here, but I don't think I've seen you singing in a quartet at district level in the top 10 or 11 quartets until this year. And the mic tester stick that you guys did down a fourth for the evening show on Saturday was absolutely hilarious. And I'll try to get a YouTube link in the show notes. But tell me a little about quartetting in your life and tag singing, and how you think that fits into good barbershop singing, or creating a good barbershop singer, I should say.
Well, I started quartetting in the Mid-Atlantic District in a collegiate quartet, and we went to International about 3 times, and our name was 4B Wee. And then right after that, I moved up to Boston to do my master's degree. So, and I am a district champ up in the Northeastern District with Club 406 with Matt Mercier, Toby Balsley, and Kirk Young.
Wow. See, I told you I knew nothing.
Right. And we went to International and once in Indy, which was like 2005 or something like that, and have been in various other quartets. Down a fourth is just an absolute blast. You know, we love going out there and singing our first couple of notes and seeing the faces, because we sing all of our music down a fourth because Mike has just a never ending range to his voice. We put it together for fun, and we have fun. We have no expectations. We just like to go out and sing together, and we rehearse when we can, and it's just a real fun thing. the main thing though is singing in a quartet. Singing in a quartet and tag singing for me, for the guys in my chorus, for the ladies in my chorus, singing tags and quartetting is the one thing that has gotten my ears to the level that they are at. It allows me to hear, it allows me to tune, it allows me to blend. And as much as I can get my choruses to do that, the better they will be. And I don't want them to do something that I am not doing. It's a very nerve-wracking thing to get up on that stage and to sing in front of the judges and in front of an audience. And if I'm going to ask them to do it, I need to be up there doing it as well. But the benefits to doing that at no matter what level are not only going to make them a better musician and a better singer, but it is going to directly affect the quality of the choruses. So I try to incorporate as much as I can tag singing into the rehearsals and quartetting every now and then. Now, when we get into contest and show times, it's very difficult to allow for that sort of stuff. But as often as we can in rehearsal, I like to include those things because it really raises the level of the individual singer. And if we can raise the level of every singer, no matter what level, raise the level ever so slightly of the best singer in the chorus and of the worst singer in the chorus, raise that level ever so slightly, the entire level of the chorus is going to raise. It's not necessary to have a chorus of district champ level singers. If we are improving the level of every singer, we are improving the level of the entire group. That is what I am trying to focus on in both choruses, is if we just take those baby steps to improve ever so slightly with every competition, every show, every week, then no matter how slow it takes, we're constantly improving.
Yeah, one of my favorite things about being a part of a chorus has been going out afterwards and singing tags. And unfortunately, I live so far away that I can't do that every week now. But I always still love to do it, and I love to pick three other guys that are just a little bit or a lot better than me. And because I always pick up little tips every time I do it. So it's I love tag singing also.
Oh yeah.
I'd like to talk a little about the webcast. This is an exciting thing for the harmonizers and myself. You know, I love technology kinds of things anyway. But as a way for barbershoppers in a wide geographic area to see our show and also to build an audience in a wider demographic than just barbershop singers, tell me a little bit about how you see the influence of technology, whether it's a webcast or any of the other things that you mentioned, in our hobby, or for me, sometimes an obsession over the next several years.
Well, what an exciting opportunity we have. This is our first chance ever. Not only is it a historic event to have such high-level choruses collaborating, but it is the first opportunity that we are taking a show like this worldwide. I had the opportunity to attend the Sweet Adelines International a week or two ago and met people there from Sweden and England and all over the world, and they were constantly asking, how is Pride doing? And my response was, well, why don't you tune into our webcast and you can find out. So we have people from all over the world that are going to be tuning into this webcast. It's such an exciting thing, and our future shows coming up that we have with the Westminster Chorus in June, things like that, we're going to continue this webcasting. On top of that, the harmonizers have been doing some groundbreaking work on YouTube. We've been putting tags up on YouTube and promoting guest nights and shows with little clips on YouTube and through Facebook. And like I said earlier, now we're doing Twitter as well. These are brand new things that are letting local people who don't know us find out about us, but also building the hype around the country and for some of these things around the world. And I would not claim that we are the first people to do it, but we are one of the few choruses that are doing it right now. And I could only expect that we are going to see many, many, many more choruses taking this sort of stuff on, because the benefits to these sorts of things are are boundless.
Yeah, I think there is a demographic out there that still is not familiar with what barbershop really is all about. And when you see the kind of views that the tag scene guys are getting on YouTube, you know that there is an appetite out there for great acapella singing, great barbershop singing. And the more that we can get out there, the more venues that we can use to get our voice out there, it can only expand our hobby. And so I'm excited about that. Well, I really appreciate your time today, Joe, and I didn't know if there's anything else you had for the good of the order, anything I forgot to ask you.
I don't think
maybe
so.
Maybe teach us a tag or something.
Boy, I'd love to if I had a voice.
Some other time we'll do a tag teaching time.
Yeah, so. Definitely. That would be a blast.
All right, Joe. Well, I'll see you over the weekend, and appreciate the time on the call today.
Okay, cool. Thanks so much, Dean.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did, getting to know Joe a little better. Joe's a great guy and a great director. If you're ever in the Alexandria area on Tuesday night, come to a rehearsal for the Alexandria Harmonizers. You'll enjoy watching him direct. He's a fun guy to both sing under and to watch lead the chorus. Of course, check out the show this Sunday, November the 8th, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Go to harmonizers.org or prideofbaltimorechorus.com to check on ticket availability or sign up for the webcast. If you have an internet connection, you have access to the show. So until next time, we'll see you at the next HarmoCast. Find three guys, sing a tag, and ring a couple chords.
We don't need your education. We don't need your thought control.
That went better than I could have possibly imagined.